Praised be Jesus and Mary.
Now and forever.
If we look at the first reading today from the book of Genesis, and we reflect on the reading and try to relate it to our lives, perhaps you're familiar with this experience. One of the temptations that the devil puts in our mind is that obeying God's commandments, we are really missing out on something. He tempts us with this fear of missing out. You obey God, and you're deprived of something. So I'd like to comment on that, specifically by referring to this first reading. Because in this first reading, what do we see? Right in the middle of this garden, which God creates for Adam and Eve, there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And yet, Adam and Eve are forbidden from eating its fruit. Doesn't that seem proof that God gives us things and then forbids us to use them? He's a God who makes us miss out on this world. That's, of course, the temptation that the serpent presented to Eve, and she fell into it. Let's try to unravel and dismantle it. So, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that is really there, yes, and which God prohibits. So God says to Adam, truly, do not eat of the fruit of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, is nevertheless a prohibition, a precept from God that forbids us not an intellectual knowledge, so not an increase in the contents of our mind, but rather an experiential knowledge. And I'll try to explain that. God wants us to know evil with the mind. In fact, in giving God the command, God reveals to Adam that there is evil. So you have options, Adam, he says. One of the options is, again, this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's really there. It's an option for you. It is evil because it's forbidden. So there's a knowledge. God doesn't deprive Adam of that. But he says, I don't want you to experience evil on your own skin. I don't want you to be deprived of the good things in the garden. And there was countless good things. So don't experience evil. Precisely in order not to be deprived of all the good that I want to give you, don't eat of that tree. You know it's evil. You know it's there. Don't even come near it because I don't want you to be deprived. Later on, what do we see? Adam and Eve, unfortunately, do fall. And what do they gain? Well, nothing. And we could describe this and illustrate this in so many ways, but what is it that happens after they sin? Their eyes are opened and they realize that they're naked. Do they gain something? No, because even before, they knew perfectly well, their minds knew that they were naked. They had that knowledge. They didn't gain anything. Their eyes opening is rather a perturbance, a disturbance that enters within them precisely because they're deprived of something good. That internal order that God had given them as a preternatural gift, they lose. And now they can no longer be in one another's presence naked without shame. They have to cover each other's nakedness. There's that, again, disorder that doesn't allow them to live in harmony as husband and wife anymore. Nothing is gained. Something is definitely lost there. They fell into that trick of the serpent. God is making you miss out. Eat of this tree and you'll become like gods. God had made them in his own image and likeness, and yet the devil succeeds in making them believe the opposite. You will become like gods only if you transgress God's command. You will have everything only if you transgress. The exact opposite is true. They were already made in the image and likeness of God. God wasn't keeping anything from them. He wanted to, again, preserve them from the reality of being deprived of the good things he has given us. So the point, when a person sins, he is always truly deprived of something. He always loses something. We always lose more than we gain. If we reflect on this, it's very true, and we have to really live our life convinced of that truth, that we gain nothing by sin, as enticing as it might be. God is really keeping nothing from us. Of course, we should never despair when we sin. We should trust God, because when we sin, we don't lose everything, but yes, we do lose something. So before the fall, Adam possessed sanctifying grace, the preternatural gifts of integrity, immortality, and infused knowledge. That was the blessed state of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Sanctifying grace, a friendship with God. Immortality. They had the capacity to not die, even though it's part of human nature to be able to be decomposed into soul and body. They were preserved from that by God, by this gift of immortality. Integrity. There's a perfect harmony between body and soul. There was no concupiscence like we experience it. They were free from those movements of the so-called appetitive powers of man that precede the intellect. So we feel that all the time. Before we can even think about it, we're already desiring forbidden things or things that we know are not good. They were freed from that. They had a perfect internal, external order. And they had infused knowledge that went beyond just the capacity of man. Knowledge about God, about themselves, about the world around them. All of that, again, the point is, all of that was truly lost. And even though, again, not everything is lost when we sin, we should never despair. Can't stress this enough. Because even after sin, God chose to redeem us. And sanctifying grace is made again available to us. Yet, something is lost. Integrity, immortality, infused knowledge, we didn't get back, even after the redemption. We will have it in heaven, but never again on earth. Something is truly lost every time we commit sin. Now, are we convinced of this? I hope so, and I stress this in order to strengthen our conviction that we gain nothing by sinning, even if it's a tiny little sin. And this is really, maybe I should have stated this at the beginning. Even with our tiny little innocent sins, we gain nothing. Even it seems when we really need to sin, because, you know, God's law is just really not applicable to our real lives, especially in those, you know, little matters, like when we really need to tell a white lie, when we really need to get back at somebody and have our little revenge, you know, we just need to do that because just God's law is not, it's not perfect in every detail. We just need to adjust for it sometimes. Or we just need to sometimes give into distractions in prayer. Let's use that example. Are we convinced? And say we're praying. Truly want to focus on God and exercise that faith that everything comes from God and we need to listen to God and do His will. But then our mind wants to problem solve. Well, how do I fix that leak in the house? What am I going to say to that person in my conversation after I'm done praying? What do I need to make sure I don't forget when I go shopping after praying? And then we're tempted to think, well, if I don't think of this right now, I'll miss out on something. If right now I don't think of my shopping list, I'll forget it later. If right now I don't problem solve, I'll miss out on it. So I better pray distractedly because if I pray to God with all my attention, I'll miss out on something. So my distraction is perfectly justified. Whereas in reality, the exact opposite is true. If we do pray with distractions, we miss out on something. God would have given us an even better solution to our problems with more lasting fruit, etc. So when you sin, don't despair, but don't sin to begin with. As St. Maximilian Kolbe would say, don't even make the distinction whether it's mortal, venial, big or small. Don't sin to begin with. Don't lose anything, but rather keep everything that God wants to give you. Don't miss out on anything that God wants you to have. Don't commit any sin. Praised be Jesus and Mary.
Amen. Amen.